Thank you for this opportunity for me to be here today, for me to preach. It's always such an encouragement to me to be able to be here and to preach to this congregation. You all know I have a great love in my heart for all of you. I found this sermon, and it's been around for a while, and I asked a couple of people. I asked an old mind, all right, if they remembered ever seeing this here before or hearing this here before, and they said no. And then I went and I asked a young mind, and so I think I have it covered. If this has been given of recent and you remember it, please don't hold that against me and bear with me, because I think there's some things in here that are good for all of us. You know, lots of times God uses nature for illustrations of wisdom, and we've done that. Other people have done sermons about that too, and I would like to do that today. I've got an option. You saw the first slide said geese, okay? Well, I want to start off by showing some places in the scriptures where God used nature. He used the things that He created to give us illustrations about our behaviors, and so that you understand that that's something that's reasonable. Let's start off with, go to Proverbs with me, Proverbs 6. And we're going to read verses 6 through 11. Proverbs 6 through 11 talks about the ant, as the illustration shows. And the ant, in verse 11, it says, verse 6 starts off, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, but a little slumber, and a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." So this is talking about how diligent ants are and how hard they work, and the fact that they don't need to have somebody standing over them telling them to do things all the time, right? So this is a good lesson for us to understand that we need to work hard and we need to be diligent. Also, there's a good one in here that we've all seen many times, and it talks about the birds. And let's go to Matthew 6:26 for that. And 6:26 says, "Look at the birds of the air, for they rather neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they?" Now, I'm going to be talking about geese today. The birds, the Lord's talking about birds, and He's saying to, and this was about don't worry, right? This is about don't think about things that are unimportant to us. And we've had a number of lectures and sermons about not worrying of lately. So I'm going to be talking about geese today. And the reason I talk about geese is that I'm not comparing us, I'm not saying anybody in this audience is a goose. Except me sometimes. But I'm just simply saying that there's some things that we can learn from the animal world, things that the natural things that God created, that I think can help us. And geese are a really, really great example of that. Now, I found this out, like I said, on the internet. So there's a lot of real interesting lessons on this. And I researched it, and everything here is true. Everything that I'm telling you is something that is a fact about geese. One of the things that's first and foremost about them is, the animation will stop in a minute, so it won't bother you. Sorry. Is geese practice synergy? Geese practice synergy. You know. Synergy by itself, the definition is two or more agents working together to produce a result not obtainable by the independent element. Interesting concept. If you think about synergy, think about it in terms of things like nitrogen and glycerin, right? Two completely different components, two completely different things, right? Nitrogen, you put that in our tires, right? Right? And glycerin is just some kind of sugar base. But if you put those two together, you end up with something completely different, don't you? So synergy is that component of having two or more things that complement each other. Synergy in geese is awesome because they do something called uplift. Now, as we're talking about geese, just in general, have you ever seen geese flying overhead in a formation? It's a perfect V formation. It's kind of interesting to watch. You ever notice that the line on one side is usually longer than the line on the other side? You ever see that? You know why? There's more birds in that line. Now that we've overanalyzed everything, let's not overanalyze the rest of what we're talking about here, okay? The synergy that geese have is a phenomenon. The synergy that geese have when they fly, they produce what's called uplift. And what it basically does is it removes the air resistance behind them. And they do this. They do this to the extent that 71% more effective for their flying. I would say to the point of geese could not migrate if they did not use this synergy, if they did not use this uplift that they got. Now, uplift can be kind of difficult to understand. It's the same thing as drafting, right? You've all, you know, anybody's a race car person, you see drafting, you get right behind somebody. And what's going on there is you're breaking the wind resistance in the front. The person in the front's getting the full brunt of it, all right, or the car in the front, or the bicycle, all right, they call it something else, that's in front, gets the full brunt of that, and everybody else gets the benefit of it. Well, I found the easiest way for me to look at it, to understand it, is think about a wave. If you're going to the ocean, and you're going to walk out into the waves in the ocean, if you're walking out into the waves in the ocean, and you're the very first one in the front of this group of people going out, that wave, when it hits you, how much of that are you going to get? You're getting 100% of that wave force against you. But now, what if I'm out there doing that, and I'm the one in the front, and Murray's standing here to my right, and Gene's standing here behind me. Are they going to get that same 100%? No. They're going to get a reduced amount of force and pressure from that wave. And that cascades all the way along. Geese know this to the point where they get 71% greater flying range because they fly this way. That's synergy. Now, the lesson for us. People who share a common direction and a sense of purpose can get further. And I've said this many times in sermons that I've given. I've talked about this in the past where I think how difficult it would be to try to get to heaven by yourself. Not impossible, but how much more difficult it would be. And that plays out right into 2x2, right? Even the scriptures talk about this. They talk about this very plainly. Go with me to Mark 6:7. A little bit further than where we were. Mark 6:7. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out 2x2 and gave them power over unclean spirits. So Jesus is giving commands, telling people to go out 2x2. Right? Two people's better than the one. We can look at it again in Luke 10:1. Luke 10:1 says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them 2x2 before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. He could have sent them one at a time. Jesus could have told them, go one at a time. He sent them 2x2. Okay? There's a synergy there that you can draw on with each other. And then we go one more step with this and we go to Acts 13:2. In Acts 13:2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So the Holy Spirit here, once again, is calling two people. And you know, Paul very rarely went anywhere by himself. There was synergy involved in everything that he was doing in order to bring about what he wanted to bring about. So one of the things you need to also understand about this is when geese fly south for the winter or north for the summer, it's not a race. It's not a chance for them to improve their personal best time, right? It's not a chance for each goose to test his or her self alone against the forces of nature. That's not what it's about. This flight that they do is about survival of the species. If they don't do these things, they don't survive. Do we appreciate the wisdom of flocking together? Do we appreciate the wisdom of being that kind of synergy within this organization, within the church, within the Lord's church? Something to think about. Geese benefit from mutual edification. You know, when a goose falls out of formation as they're flying, they do it. And if you've ever seen this, because I do study, I mean, you know, there's other people here that watch the birds. I watch them a lot. And when you see geese flying overhead like that, if one falls out of formation, it's not very long. They don't stay out very long. Pretty quickly, they get right back into it. Back into formation, take advantage of that lift that it needs, that extra little lift that it has. If we had as much sense as a goose, we'd stay in formation too, wouldn't we? If we had as much sense as a goose, we'd stay in formation with the folks that are helping us go on this. Are we not? Is anybody out here not aiming for heaven? Is that not your goal? To be with God in heaven? Is that not the goal? So why would any of us not want to be in line with the principles and the things that get us there? So this is a great lesson for them. We're willing to accept others and give help to others. We need to do that. Strong Christians appreciate the value of edification. Hebrews 3, 12 and 11. Go with me to Hebrews 3, 12 and 11, please. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, which is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So, beware. Having that mutual edification, having each other together. And then go ahead a little bit to 10, chapter 10 of Hebrews, and we're going to read 21 to 25, which tells us, and having a high priest over the house, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is a verse we use all the time about don't miss assembly, but there's a bigger piece of it. It's like, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, consider one another. Helping and considering one another is an important feature in us getting to heaven. An important feature. Mutual edification occurs within the context of the local church. A group of geese are called a skine in flight, by the way, or a gaggle on the ground. A group of Christians is called the church. True Christians are the church. Geese share the burden. This is an interesting concept as well. When the lead goose tires, another goose will come out from behind. That one will go back, and another goose will come up and take the lead. Remember that 100% air resistance that they're getting? This is how they're able to do this. They share. Kind of similar to pace lining, like we talk about in bicycles. That's what a bicycle does. When they're going in a group, they'll switch so that they have one person who can. Because there's much more energy expired in that person in the front or that goose in the front. Okay? It really pays to take turns doing the hard task and sharing leadership. As with geese, people are interdependent on other people's skills lots of times. We're really, really blessed within this congregation because we have so many people that are capable of doing so many different things. So I think sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we don't really understand how important that is to us and what a blessing that is to us that we have so many people that can do so many things. But you know what? Everybody has to be a part of it. Everybody has to be involved with it. If we look to Ephesians 4:16, what's it say? Ephesians 4:16 tells us, we read this many times, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working of which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So that's an implication. It causes growth because you share. Because you're sharing, the church grows. Because you're sharing, you grow. Thereby, if you're not doing a part, if you're not participating, you're not growing and you're not helping anybody else to grow. You know, too often brothers can burn out. It's easy to burn out. You know, we have we're very fortunate to have elders. We're very fortunate to have deacons. have people that take on a lot of the burdens that are going on. They do a lot. They do a lot of things behind the scenes. We as a congregation need to be aware of that. We as a congregation need to understand that there's lots of things that need to be done in order for us to even just have this building. The work day yesterday was awesome. It was an amazing thing to see. We had, a third of the congregation was here. And they were just busy as little bees, just buzzing about. People doing things outside, inside. People learning things about how to do things that they'd never done before. I mean, I'm sure, I don't think Jesse or Samantha, either one of them, had ever had a pressure washer in their hands before. But they did an awesome job. Okay? So I'm saying that was a big piece of drawing this congregation as a group, as a whole group, as the church. And you have to ask yourself, and I have to ask myself all the time, am I doing enough things? You know what? It's like, is the water bottle's empty? Do I change it? Do I even know? Does everybody out there even know where paper towels are? Do paper towels just magically appear in the thing? No, they do not. So it's like, we all need to understand that. So if you go in, the paper towels aren't in the bathroom, go find them, put them in. That kind of thing. And it's the simple things. And I'm, support for the TV programs. I learned so much doing the TV programs and the support that you get doing the TV programs. Even the support, the people that are out there that are running the monitors, that are taking the calls, there's so much to learn. Such good things to draw you towards God. Because when people call in, there's no better contact you have than realizing that there's three counties of people that are out there listening to you. And they have questions and the hearts that you touch. So that participation, if you don't participate, if you don't do it, you don't get that. And that's a blessing, brothers and sisters. Trust me, that is a blessing that everyone deserves to have. Everyone. You know, geese encourage those who lead. These geese flying in formation honk. Now, I told Rita I wouldn't do that. There's a little horn up there that I can play honking noise, but I'm not going to do that because Rita didn't want me, and I won't do that. But geese honk. Okay? Now, I'm sure there's people out there thinking, well, what are they honking about? I don't think that they're honking about, hey, would you hurry it up there? Would you move it along? Would you please fly a little bit to the left? I don't think that's what's going on. I think they're honking, and I think the geese, and that encouragement, as you're the guy in the front or the goose in the front, you're hearing that there's people behind you, there's geese behind you that are counting on you. Can't we encourage each other? You know what? If a brother does a good job song leading, which all of ours do, tell him about it. There's a good sermon, or if somebody even comes up here and it's not a great sermon, you need to encourage them because they're giving the sermon. There's so many things that happen. When you see somebody change the water bottle, encourage them. I mean, it's so easy to tear people apart, and it's also so easy to encourage people. We have a lot of that going on. The brothers and sisters in this congregation are really good at that, but never let that drop down. Never let that come down to from where it is. The Scriptures talk about it. Ephesians 4:29, right where you were before, Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Say those things, which will impart grace to the hearers. One of the little pet peeves that Reed and I have had for a long time is that teasing is really tough sometimes. We have a tendency to tease each other. And there may be a place for that, but you have to be really careful because sometimes in a tease there's words that are serious. And so you have to be really careful about that. I'm just saying, okay? You have to be careful about that. And then if you go to Colossians 4:6, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Know what you're saying. Think before you speak. And think about that. In the Bible class this morning, Kevin brought us some great points about giving brothers the benefit of the doubt. It's kind of what we talked about, right? Being open and honest and being able to give your brothers and sisters the benefit of the doubt. And think the positive, no matter what goes on or what's happening, think positive about it. The power to encouragement, to stand by one's heart or core values and encourage the heart and cores of others is the quality of the honking we seek, isn't it? That's the kind of encouragement which, it should be for building people up, Everything we do should be for building people up. Here's another one that's really, I thought, was interesting as well. Geese care for one another. Now, this is instinctual. I'm not by any means saying that geese have intellect, that they're smarter than other animals or whatever, but I'm saying God has given them this instinct to care for one another. When a goose gets sick, wounded, or shot down, whatever happens, if a goose comes out of formation and goes to the ground, more often than not, there will be a couple of other geese come down with it. And they will stay with it until that goose either dies or is able to fly again, so that they can get back up. And then if he gets better, they get up, they go together in formation, and they go on. The lesson for us is just easy. Stand with your brother. Stand with your brothers and sisters. That's good and bad. Okay? Lots of good things happen in our lives. You know, there's so many blessings we can hardly count them. But when things happen that are negative, when things happen that are not for the best, stand with your brothers and sisters about that. Be the one to be there for them when something. You know what? When I mess up, I need somebody to come and help me with that. If it's nothing more than just to be available to talk, to be able to speak with somebody that you know has your best intentions in mind. Because you certainly can't do that at work, because you have no idea when you talk to somebody at work where it's going and what's going to happen with it. That's absolute truth. But here in this room, the people in this building that gather here, these group of people, you should be able to talk to any one of them about anything that goes on in your mind. And if you're not doing that, you're missing a huge, huge blessing that you have in your life. Because we need to be able to do that. If we have as much sense as a geese, we will stand by each other in difficult times as well as when we are strong. That's a spiritual duty, isn't it? And it's so powerful for us. Galatians 6, 1 through 2 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken by any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You know, when you condemn a brother or a sister for something, and we talked about this, and Kevin talked about this morning, it was great in the class. When you condemn a brother or sister, when you think a negative thought about them, about something that you know or whatever, that's already starting you in the wrong track. You've got to give that benefit of doubt. You've got to have a positive and be able to take that and help them go on. If somebody does something that you consider to be weak, then what you should be thinking is, what can I do to help them not be weak? Come on. This is such a simple thing for geese to teach, right? This is such a simple thing that we should all know and we should all understand. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. I'll tell you. Rita and I are reading the Bible this year, so this has been really great for me because things like Ecclesiastes would have completely thrown me in past times. You know, it's just finding things anymore. 4, 9 and 10 says, "Two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up." When you mess up is the time when you're most vulnerable to Satan, to the things of the world, to taking and getting into your heart. Don't let that happen to any of your brothers and sisters. Please, don't let that happen. It's kind of a short lesson for me, isn't it? Geese have these wonderful properties, these wonderful instincts. By instinct, this is a gift God gave geese, isn't it? We think about gifts that we get all the time. God gives gifts to the animals, doesn't he? I mean, he gave this gift to these geese so that they're able to propagate their species. Because if they didn't have that, I told you, remember? 71% of lift. If they didn't have that ability to do that and know how to do that, if he didn't give them that, they would not have been able to fly to their migrations. They would not have been able to reproduce. Their species would go away. What a great gift. Christians, we have a greater gift. We have the Word of God. If we're only smart enough, smart as the simplest goose, to look into this book when we have a problem instead of going to the world or going somewhere else or letting it ride or letting it slide and not do anything about it. If we go to this book, it will always give us the answer. May not be the answer you want at the moment, but it'll be the right answer. So, what a gift that was from God. And there you have it, brothers and sisters. That's the lesson from me today, from God's Word today. If you're a Christian and you have an issue, one of the greatest benefits that you have as a Christian is the prayers of the brothers and sisters here that love you. As you come forward, you can sit on the front pew. If it's a public nature and you want to get it out and you want to clear it out, then that's a thing to do, because that really takes that burden off of you so that you don't have to bear it by yourself. If you're not a Christian yet, it's one of the benefits that you don't have. And it's something that's sad, but at the same time, you can fix that too, because we have everything here and we have the will for you that you would come forward, that you would see that light, that you would obey the gospel, and that you would do those things which we would help you to come into the Lord's fold. If you're in either one of those conditions, I would advise you to come forward as we stand and sing.